step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey there. I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, yep, Ghetto Boys is back and reloaded. All in your mouth, yeah, now deep-throated. This is for the streets, the real, the railroaded. The disenfranchised, the truth, the scapegoated.
And they know it, we speak the truth, so they quote it. Cause we wrote it, the north, south, the east coast. It's the GB knocking, we keeping your head bobbing. It ain't no stopping.
And once the beat drops in, violins, the system is so corrupt. They throw the rock out their hands and then blame it on us. It's GB. Don't get it twisted. On code and we ain't dancing for no buttermilk biscuits.
It's Willie D, y'all. Reloaded with another episode of information and instructions to help you navigate through this wild, crazy, beautiful world. In the studio, Sam Williamson, the love guru.
What's up?
What's up, King?
What's going on?
Man, what exactly is a love guru?
So, you know, I get that question all the time. So people always ask me, how did I come up with that? So when I was in college, man, I was the guy that if anybody had a question, if they were going through any problems, that girl left them, they caught that girl cheating, they would come to me and ask me, like, what do you think? They would ask my advice.
Right.
So they started calling me Love Guru. So after then, I thought it was funny. So I just took the name. I just kept it.
That's dope.
So it happened when I was in college.
That's dope. So you got you the dude that the girls call to for advice?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you got a lot of home girls that's
really, oh, yeah.
These are not girls you're in relationships with. They just,
right.
These women. And some of them you used to be
right.
In relationships with.
Most of them used to be in relationships.
Yeah. Right. So they call you to ask for advice.
Yeah.
What's the advice that they ask you most that you're most annoyed about?
My thing is, the only thing I get annoyed about is women when they lie to themselves. Like, women lie to themselves a lot.
Awesome.
And that's probably the biggest issue when you talk about relationships. So I'll give you an example. I remember we'll ask women, like someone had a show that I was on, and they were asking about, like, if you were a high quality woman or whatever you want to call it, right? So everybody has their name now, you know, a woman of substance, high quality, you know, I always say check all the box, whether it's men or women. So we was asking this young lady, she was an attorney here in Houston, and they were asking her, could she marry or date a man that make like $40,000, right? So she said, immediately said yes, right? So now I'm looking at her, she got, you know, Ferragamo this, Louis Vuitton that, you know, probably had La Perla underwear on, you know. And she said she can date a dude that's $40,000, makes $40,000, but as long as he's ambitious. We like, well, how ambitious can he be if he's making $40,000? So those type of lies that you telling yourself, you say, hey, you know what? I can really deal with this, when you know you can't. And it's okay. It's okay if you're an attorney and you won't date a dude that make $40,000, because you shouldn't, because you two are not equally yoked, at least economically, you're not, right?
Well, just to present the other side of that, at some point, you had to make five figures before you started making six figures.
Right, that's true.
So, and you was ambitious.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you were making, she was 40-some years old. So I would imagine she would be dating a guy about her age. If you're 45 years old, making $40,000, nothing wrong with that, because you may be a school teacher or something like that, right? But what you deem as important, you know, is more about like the feeling you get out of teaching someone, right? That's rewarding to you, right? If you're an attorney and the lifestyle that she was living, you know, that's fine, but she's more looking on the economic side. And at some point in time, that's going to clash. So anytime a woman said, I want a dude that's making this type of money and ambition. Now, if he was 20 years old, that would be different. If she was 25 years old, that would be different. My first job, when I got cut from football, and it was funny, my brother just asked me, he was like, what did you make on your first job? I made $26,000 in a company car. I was 23 years old, right? That's a long time, you know, and probably by the time I was, you know, 26, you know, I was well into high six figures. So, I mean, my girl at the time had just came out of law school. She was an attorney. So that was cool with her because we was both in our 20s, early 20s, and we was on our way up. But she's 45, and to say you'll date someone that's making that type of money at 40, 45 years old, that's you lying to yourself.
Huh. You say you played football. What level did you get to?
I went to camp with the Falcons, got cut, and that was it.
What position?
Free safety and strong safety.
How did that affect you moving forward?
So that's actually a good question because I was engaged at the time. So I was, for when I first got cut, I was distraught because not the money, it was just the whole lifestyle and stuff that came along with it. I didn't feel like I got a chance to live that lifestyle. So for probably the next 5 years, all of my boys was playing like, you know, Charles Woodson, you know, Ty Law, you know, Kevie Baker, a couple of my boys was playing, Briggs, all these guys was playing. So I was kind of living vicariously through them. So my girl she had just finished law school. She had moved to Houston and she was studying for the bar, right? So she would be calling me like, hey, I'm at the law library. I'll be home at 10. And she'd be like, where you at? I'll be on my way to Miami. You know, like Dale, my partner Dale Carter would be like, hey, I got you some tickets at the airport. You know what I'm saying? Meet us in Miami. So I'll be in Miami. And she was just like, I just took her through a lot because I was trying to still navigate, you know, where I thought I should be and where I was.
Was she a good woman?
Oh, she was a great woman.
And you blew it?
Blew it.
How long were y'all together?
We was together 16 years before we broke up.
Tell the men out there, how do you identify a good woman? Like, and what qualifies as a good woman?
So that's a good question too, but that differs from everybody. And if you don't lie to yourself, you'll find a good woman for you, right? So me and my boys, so we just had a 2-hour conversation on Sunday about this because everyone's trying to marry me off, right? So I'm ready to get married. You going to get married? Are you married, Willie D?
I've been married.
Are you going to get married?
Again? I don't know. I'm open. I like the idea of marriage, or at least what it traditionally means and what it stands for, and everything that comes with it.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. That's how I feel.
I'm open.
So I've been telling them for probably the last 3 or 4 years. I'm in this space where I want to get married, right? But I have some strict criteria, and I won't budge on it, right? So my chick has to be pretty. I mean, I wished I was one of those guys that could get past looks and see the inner self, see all the inner beauty. I need a little bit of that inner beauty on the outside. I need that to wear it on the outside. So that sometimes people deem as superficial, but it's not, because the looks is what get me, right? The personality is what keeps me, right? So for me, a good woman would be a woman that's, you know, very nice looking, right? That's loyal, right? That has accomplished some things in life, right? That's nurturing, you know, that's family orientated, right? But you have to have a great personality. Like, I play a lot. You know what I'm saying? Any woman that's ever dated me know, like, the one thing they'll say is I keep them laughing. So you got to be able to laugh at yourself. And if you're not a woman that can't laugh at herself, and you get a type of woman that can have fun, if you're serious a lot, then you're not going to like me, because it's not who I am.
Are you a player? Player? A player?
Not anymore. But I would be lying if I said I didn't have my player days.
And that's how you blew the lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you
messed that up. That's how we blew a lot of women.
Yeah.
Any dude with any money, any dude that's, you know, of that got $4 or $5 in his pocket, charismatic, nice looking, they done blew a lot of nice women over their time. So she was probably the biggest one in my life. But, I mean, there's other women that I blew because I had matured to the point where I understood. Now, this is the deal. Women are always like, how do you know when you want to get married? And I always tell them, you know a man wants to be married when he understands what place a woman plays in his life and what value she brings. Because in the beginning, I really didn't even know that. You know, I just knew I loved this girl and I felt like I should be marrying her because I loved her. But I didn't understand what part she was going to play. I was still trying to figure myself out. I remember my first house I purchased in Houston, and I was so bent on buying it on my own because I didn't want to feel like a woman helped me do anything, right? And she had just started making some money as an attorney, and she was like, I want to contribute. I was like, nah, I'm good, son, because I wanted to feel like I did it on my own. And it was, you know, my first 10 pieces of property I bought, all of that, I always wanted to feel like I did it on my own before I had someone else help. So for me to get married, that wasn't even a good time for me to get married, because I didn't even realize what I needed from a woman to help me achieve my goals, because I was so hell-bent on feeling like I did it on my own.
So once you did it on your own, and you got this house, now you're still with the lawyer, right?
Yeah, still with the attorney.
You're still with the attorney. Okay, yeah. So she comes in, and did she move in with you?
She moved in with me.
And then,
so when she graduated at law school, she immediately moved to Houston. I mean, that's the reason why I came to Houston.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because she wanted to do oil and gas.
Where she graduated from, Thurgood?
No, she went to she graduated from Marquette Law.
Okay. So she moves in. Everything's good for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But you still a player, and you ain't got no intention on slowing down.
No.
At what point do you slow down? At what point do you catch your snap and say, man, you know what? I think I can do this law thing. Do you think you can be a lawyer? Lawyer man to a woman?
So when you get to the point, so that's another question women always ask, when you get to the point when it's no fun anymore. So me dating multiple women at one time now, it would be almost a job. And I don't need any more jobs. I got a bunch of jobs right now. So that would be the last thing I want. I always make the joke that, like, now I'm at the point where, you know, when I was 25, 35, if you called me and was like, hey, It's 1:30. Some girl called me at 1:30 and be like, hey, come over to my house. I will be up, dressed, over your crib. You know what I'm saying? And I might have a surgery. I might have a surgery at like start at 6:30 or 7. I'll be counting. I'll be like, so if I get over our house at 1:30, 2 o'clock, we do it till like 2:45. I get some sleep. All right, I can get 3 hours worth of sleep. I can do this.
Damn.
Now you call me at 1:30 in the morning talking about come over your house. I'd be like, girl, I got my bonnet on. I'm asleep. You know?
So explain this surgery thing, man. Wait, hold on. Let me back up. Are you serious? You had a bonnet on? I know. Yeah, I see you got the curl.
I'm joking with the bonnet thing.
I got to ask because I know they're going to be in the comments like, you're talking to a dude that wear bonnets.
No, I'm joking.
Okay, so, and what was I?
You know how women call you and ask you. You ask, hey, I'm finna come over. They be like, girl, boy, you should have called me before I got in the bed, put my bonnet on. Yo, I wrapped my hair up. So that's what I got.
I'm trying to remember, where was I, man, before I went back to the bonnet?
You said the surgery. You said, what about?
Okay, yeah, the surgery.
Yeah.
So explain to the people what it is you do. Why would you be doing a surgery?
Oh, so what I do is the easy term is I'm a device rep, right? Okay. But I own my own distributorship now. But I sell a product for abdominal wall reconstruction and breast reconstruction. And what I do is my job is to be in there and assist the surgeon if he has any questions. So people are always like, well, why would a surgeon need you? Don't he know how to do the surgery? Is the one that always to come back. He does know how to do the surgery, but it's your product specific that he needs to know about. So I give you an example. My guys that do screws, so I got a couple partners that are distributed, they own distributors, they sell screws. One, my boy Curly Johnson. So he's in every surgery, right? Because sometimes a surgeon might drill too far in, and you know your product, you better make sure you can get him out of the trouble, because he's going to turn to you. You know, if he's too far in with a screw, he's putting screws in your back, he's going to turn to you. And you got to know the anatomy. You got to be able to tell him which way to turn, what tool to use, and everything to get that out. Right. So you assist him. He knows the basics. So it's like kind of a mechanic. If you got a mechanic that has worked on cars and been trained up until 2022, maybe. Right. And then they come out in 2023 or 2024 with a whole new engine. Right. There's some type of rep that goes and retrain those mechanics. Well, that's basically what reps do in the OR. Mm-hmm. So they're in there to answer any questions, make sure the doctor doesn't get in trouble, because if surgeons, a lot of times surgeons make a mistake, they're not going to take it on themselves and say, I made a mistake, I did something wrong. They're going to say your product was crappy.
Right. Or are they going to just say that the person took a turn for the worse?
Yeah. But we're just talking about implants. Yeah. If they're doing a surgery, yeah, maybe. But if they're implanting something, then.
There's a story circulating right now of this woman who introduced her boyfriend to her husband and other boyfriend.
Yeah.
Have you seen that story?
I've seen it. There's a lot of that now going on.
What do they call it? Polygamy?
Polygamy or something like that.
Yeah, man. What do you think about that? Is that something that's doable in a loving relationship? And is it sustainable?
For some people.
For women. For women to do, because typically men the role would be a man would have multiple women. This woman has three men.
Right.
It
just depends on the dude.
Running up in her. It depends
on the dude.
Destroying her.
Yeah.
Merc.
It depends on the dude.
Let me stop.
Yeah, no, it depends on the dude, man. I couldn't be in that.
Those dudes look like some simps, though, bro. When she introduced them, they embraced each other like he was a long lost friend or something.
So this is the deal. With me, I don't want to talk about anybody, but listen, to me, they are simps. Like, and you got to have a simp mentality for you to even be in that situation. I just don't see any, and I know this is overused. I don't see a lot of alpha men.
I don't know any alpha men.
But there have been, to the dawn of time, where men, I mean, if you look at even the animal kingdom, it's always the alpha lion, right? And then and he gets what he wants, right? And then there's a whole slew of guys that mess with the other lioness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they all take turns on that. But when the main guy say,
get out the way.
Yeah, when the alpha and the male enterprise say, y'all, this is mine, don't nobody else touch them. So, women would like us to believe that you can be like that and still be alpha. I just don't know. That just don't seem in a type of alpha mentality to me. So they do seem like simps to me.
Can a woman participate in that type of lifestyle and be respected?
Not by other men, by the three guys that she with, but no other man would do that. Other women don't even do it. I always tell women, so you ask me stuff, and I say women lie to themselves. Other women wouldn't even like that. Like if she told her friend that she had three dudes banging her, she'd be in bed with you telling you how, man, excuse my friend, man, that bitch nasty as hell. all them niggas
That's
be
what
fucking
they're saying
her.
In my comment section right, on Instagram.
Right, right.
They killing her.
Right, they like, oh, that bitch nasty as hell. So, I mean, if women don't like it, what do you think a man is going to do?
Mm.
If they don't say it's okay, right? Because women tell, all you got to do is hang around some women, hear them talk, and they by themselves, they tell you how they really feel. Like, all that stuff that women say when they with you and try to get you to buy into, they don't think it their own selves. Because just like you said in your comments, I bet you there's as many women as men talking about her, dogging her about having three sexual partners at one time. This is not how it is. It's not how it's made. Women... It's just a difference when it's a man to a woman, it's a woman to a man. I know women want to make everything equal. Now you got all this Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B thinking now. But it's not, they don't even think like that. Cardi B talk about get this money and sucking a dick for free. I mean, sucking dick for money and sucking a dick for whatever she can get. And she'll fuck your friend and your cousin's friend. But she's sitting running up behind a dude that cheat on her. So why would you sell yourself out like that?
Hmm.
So, I could. That's all I could tell you.
What if she was pretty?
I don't care if she was pretty. And pretty go a long way with me, but I don't even care if she was pretty.
What if she was gorgeous, like drop dead, bad to the bone?
I wouldn't like her.
And you could just get
I would rather she was Oprah. From her. Oprah probably could do it to me. Like me, you, and Face, we can hit Oprah. Because it'll be all of that's the type of money that'll change your lifestyle forever.
I wouldn't do it. I really do have to be, I have to be attracted to a woman to do that. And I have to have.
Even if it was Oprah?
Man, I have to be attracted to a woman.
Four billion Oprah?
The money don't mean nothing.
I'm sorry. That. Money don't mean nothing to me until it gets to Oprah.
Nah, the money don't mean... money can't... See, your convictions cannot be compromised by money under no circumstances, whether the money is a dollar or $1 billion. If you have convictions, you stand... That's why you have convictions, because you stand on something.
See, yeah.
So
everybody got their price, I believe.
I don't think so. Because I remember going into the entertainment industry, and well before going into the entertainment industry, me and my brother, we sleep in the bed together up until we was in I was 7th grade, he was 8th grade, and we used to have a whole lot of talking and stuff, man, just all these conversations.
Right.
And I remember us one day talking about life and like what we would do for money.
Right.
And we'd be like, well, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't sleep with a man for money. I wouldn't kill my family for money.
Yeah, that's...
So if you don't know what you will do for money, you better know what you won't do for money. So I see that you do know what you will do for money. You will sleep with Oprah for money.
Yeah, I'm sleeping with Oprah. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I wouldn't because I couldn't get hard. I couldn't do it.
I probably would be in the same position, but I would find a way.
I couldn't get excited. I couldn't get aroused.
I'll find a way with Oprah, dog.
It would have, for me, it has to be a chick that I'm...
I'd be like, damn you, Oprah!
It would have to be a chick that I'm attracted to. And, the trip part is this. Like, how do you reconcile making that statement about you would sleep with Oprah for uh-huh. money, and then tell a woman, well, you get what you get if you sleep with a man for money.
Well, see, I don't, if you're honest with it. So if you so, because it would be, I mean, there's a little levity there. That's me being a little facetious. But I know this. If Oprah came to me and was like, yo, I really want to dig you, because I'm like you with women. Like, I have to be sexually, especially now. Now, when I was 22 years old, if you was bad, it didn't take a lot. But now I have to be really, really, really attracted to you to even want to be sexual with you at this point. But Oprah, that type of money, she was like, you can do whatever you want to do with my money. I kind of be like, I have to think about that one, brother. I ain't gonna lie to you.
But the thing is, Sam, is that from what I gathered from watching Oprah through the years, Oprah uh-huh. is not for us. She's not for us.
Oh, wait.
She's not for black men. She's not even for the black family nucleus. You know, black
really?
Men and women.
You believe
she,
that?
I believe that. I just watched her. I just watch how she talk to women and tell women, well, you don't need a man. You know, you can do this and da-da-da and all these type of things. Like, we need each other. No matter how much friction we have, no matter how dirty one of us do the other, whatever.
But that's what I was telling you.
We're not going to survive without each other. Like, we can win a lot of, we've survived a lot of wars. But one war we cannot win is a gender war.
Oh, I agree with that.
We can't survive a gender war.
I agree with that. But see, it goes back to what I was telling about the little Cardi B and the little Megan Thee Stallion and how they rap and the stuff that they rap about. And they're not really about that. But, I mean, Oprah, I mean, she's had Stedman around forever.
So he
served some purpose.
Stedman around.
But he served some purpose.
Around.
Right.
Yeah, the cover.
Whatever it is. I mean, she need a man for something. So even if it's for cover.
To cover.
But she needed him for something. So, and I think.
Why would she need a man to cover for her?
I mean, I know where you're getting at. I've heard people say that before.
Well, say what, Sam?
I've heard women say, like, she don't really go that way. And he kind of her, what do they call that?
Wingman?
No, they call it something like when you got, like, you go the other way.
Like a lot of those pastors do.
Yeah. I forgot whatever they call
they
it.
Get married, they get married. Yeah. And they be out there. Like,
right. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it's a lot of women that do that nowadays. Because I think that they got past what their mothers was trying to make. When our mothers was trying to make our sisters independent, they didn't want to make them independent of men. Right? That wasn't the deal. I don't know when it went to be independent of men. The independence came from you being able to pull your own weight. That's my father taught my sisters to be independent, but not independent of men, right? Independent, he meant independent where you go, you grow, and then you bring, then you're equal to whoever you want to bring in, right? So, you know, everybody come in as independent. You're independent, I'm independent. Right. But we still need women. Right. So you still need a woman. Right. So I don't know when this thing where it was like, I don't need men at all came about. I haven't even researched it to tell you what year, because I usually research that stuff where it turned from being independence and growth as opposed to independent separate from men. I think the message got hijacked at some point in time.
I think the message was purposely planted, and everything's working out just fine, you know, and the way that the oligarchy wanted it to work out, you know, the people that try to destroy our community uh-huh. and put these programs and initiatives in place.
I can see that.
Every few years, they got a new program to further subjugate us.
I agree with that.
I think
because if you look at rich families, they push that to be married. Like they want you to meet. You know the Bushes want to mingle with the Kennedys, and the Kennedys, you know, want to, you know, mingle with the Morgans, and you know, you see a lot of that inner exchange between rich families. So, yeah, I could believe that. And as long as you keep them, the people below you, separated, then you'll be able to control the narrative, control whatever else you need to control. Control them, actually.
Yeah. Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me put you a scenario out there. I saw this on a video, another one of these viral videos. Should a, let's say a guy is
a baby daddy. He has a child that he's bringing food to. This child has other siblings that are not his.
I saw that.
He's bringing his child some McDonald's.
Right.
Should he feel obligated to buy food for the other kids who are not his?
See, that's the word, obligation. Like, he shouldn't feel obligated. I would, to be a nice guy, right? And the one you're talking about, he had done it before. It wasn't like he had...
What if she has 9 kids?
Right. So he had done it before, right? It's not his children. He shouldn't have to do it every time, right? Because I saw it growing up. So my buddy across the street, my mother had 3 kids by my dad, and all her kids was by my dad. So I grew up in that type of house. I didn't know anything other until, like, I was probably about 8 or 9 years old, and I started hanging with my buddy across the street. His mother had, I think it was like 8 of them with 4 different baby daddies, right? So, if I'm not correct, four baby daddies. So, I saw, like, he would, like, there were some of her boyfriends that were coming by food for everybody, and there were some of her boyfriend that would bring in stuff, or not just not food, but anything. Like, he brought toys or whatever. He tried to bring everybody a toy. And then there were some that would just drop off just for one kid, just his daughter or his son. So I kind of saw that. I always thought that was strange. In my opinion, you know, 9 children to buy food for is a lot. You know, I don't care what you got. But I think the word obligation is the deal. You know, he's never obligated to do that, but take care of his child. You know, if you want to be a nice guy, you know she got other kids in the household. You don't want them to feel bad.
What if one of the kids tell you, "You ain't my daddy"?
Then he ain't getting shit then.
You know what?
You gonna get him one fry. Get that nigga one fry.
You know what? I agree with you. I actually agree with that. He shouldn't feel obligated. But it is something that I would do. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't even feel right. Just wouldn't. Even if I didn't know the kids.
Right.
If my kid was just around a group of kids.
Right.
I would feel awkward.
Right.
To just bring my kids some food, knowing these other kids are hungry.
Yeah, I agree. My son have his friends around. I always pay for everybody's stuff. Like, if I say, "Hey, grab your friends, go to the movie," I never be like, "Well, does little Jimmy have any money?" You know, I'm going to do that. But I don't have to feel obligated to do it. I do it because it's my son and it's his friends. But if his parents started to feel obligated, like, "You taking your son out, you should take my son," then that's where you have the issues. As I said, if I'm not mistaken, in his case, he had done it before, right? It was just that particular time where he was just like, "My son is hungry." So I would have asked my son to come out the house. Maybe we would have drove around the corner if I didn't want to spend the money, and then let him eat. But yeah, I would. That would be a hard with 9 kids. That would be hard every time. I mean, carrying a bag of food.
You gonna tell your kid, "All right, come on, get in the car."
Yeah, come on, get in the car.
Right.
Let's go.
So your kid gets his stomach full.
Right.
He comes back. And then you take him back home with McDonald's on his bread.
Yeah, well,
with a full stomach.
First of all, his son was one of the last kids. I would never procreate with a woman that has 7.
I said nine.
Yeah, or 8 of the baby
Bingo.
Kids.
Bingo, because yeah. I was going to come around to that. I was going to come around to that. And why do men do that?
Because, I mean, you grow up in that environment. It becomes, as I told you, like, growing up, it was strange to me. When my parents got a divorce, right, only other man I've ever seen in my house is my dad. So when I would go across the street to my boy Will's crib, his mother would have like different boyfriends that would spend the night. It would be the most foreign thing that I ever seen in my life. So it's always dependent on mentality and how you grow up. Always depends on how you look at things.
Did you grow up with your dad in the house?
So they got divorced when I was like 6, but my dad was always around. So like—
Was your dad a player?
Oh, absolutely.
So that's where you get it from?
Oh, I ain't gonna put it all on him.
Player?
Yeah, I ain't gonna put it all on him. But I mean, I grew up in that environment. My family is boy heavy. So we got probably more boys in the family, especially on the Williamson side, than we have, you know, girls. And the women catered to them. Like, even my father, so all my father and all his brothers died of cancer, every one of them. And whether they had a wife or not, my grandmother had two sisters. My grandmother had 2 girls and 6 boys. And them 2 girls took care of all those boys until they died. Like, whether they had a wife or whatever. And my grandmother catered to her boys. My mother always said it was her.
Let me write this down. Williamson girls. Williamson girls.
Catered them. And that's how I grew up in a family like that. And my father, they were very alpha males, every one of them. Every one of them owned their own businesses. Every one of them had a job, but they also had side hustles, owned their own business, hustled, all of that. So that's the men I grew up under. Right? So I don't know anything other than that. So for me to go in and see a woman with 6 kids, like, that would be a total turnoff to me. I couldn't do that.
What's your limit?
Kids-wise?
Yeah.
I would prefer a woman with no kids. And I know that's wrong because I got kids. But I would prefer with no kids. But if you do have a kid, a boy the age of my son.
And how old is your son?
My son is 12. The youngest one is 12. So at least his age.
What type of advice do you give your 12-year-old son about girls?
It's crazy because he is girl crazy. So right now I'm just telling him to seek out women that's going in that same direction or girls that's going in that same direction. So we talk about this all the time. I'm like, because he had a little girlfriend that she would like, skip classes with him and stuff like that. I said, I'm telling you right now, man, that's not the girl you want to be with. I'm like, already. Like, I'm like, at 12
she's
years.
She's skipping class at 12 years
old? At 12. Man, you would be surprised at what these little kids are doing. So I'm like, man, you need to be with the girl. I think her name is Sophie. So it's one little girl named Sophie.
Where is Sophie going?
No, she's not skipping class.
Okay, so
it's the other girl skips class.
Where
I forgot
is she
her
going?
Name. Oh, man, they'll go up to the Starbucks and, you know what I'm saying? They'll just be in the class. They'll find somewhere to hide in school. I did that in high school, not in, you know, junior high. I did it
typically
in high school.
That's when you start doing stuff like that.
But they're doing it a lot earlier now. So, but it's this other little girl. I told him she played sports. She played the piano. Right, she on the honor roll. I'm like, dude, that's the chick that you should be liking. You know, I was like, this other one, nah. I was like, don't even get yourself used to taking easy. I was like, go for the hard one. You know what I'm saying? Don't do easy. I said, I know as a male, sometimes, and that's what gets us in trouble. Sometimes we take easy instead of going for hard. And that'll always get you in trouble. That got me in trouble.
So was he receptive?
I think he getting it. I think he's getting it, you know, but I always tell him every morning we do this ritual where I say, look in the mirror, what you see. And he got to tell me, you know, and at first it used to be rehearsed. He'd be like, I see a smart kid. I see an intellectual kid, you know, I see a handsome kid. But now he's starting to speak it. Like, I'm like, because whoever you feel, whatever you see looking out that mirror is the way you're going to drive yourself, right? Even the mistakes I made, I always knew I was Sam Williamson because my daddy beat it in his boy's head. He like, you the son of Maurice Williamson. You know, this is how you roll, brother. He's like, this is how you do it. And so he always was like, what you see when you look in the mirror, brother? You know, that's how my father talk. What you see when you look in the mirror, brother? And I tell him, and he say, well, dad, that's how you should be living your life. So whatever you see in that mirror is what you're going to do. So that's my biggest advice with him. I want him to see what he feels that he's going to grow up to be.
Do you have conversations with him about loyalty and sexual assault? Your loyalty to his girl, to a girl?
Not yet. Because that's a little bit too deep. I don't even though I know at that age, because I didn't call him and his partners looking at stuff, I haven't gotten deep into the sex talk yet.
You should.
Once he turned, I'm getting there a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Should. But probably next year when he's in the eighth, I know he's going to high school, I'm probably going to have a deep, deep talk with him.
You should have the conversation before, because he may catch you off guard. You may think, okay, now he's in the eighth grade, but he just beat you by a few weeks.
Yeah.
He just did something, you know, a few weeks ago, and you thinking that you're ahead of you're ahead of the eight
you
ball,
might be right. That might be something I need to consider,
I started talking to my son very, very early.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, we can have a much better like relationship overall. We can have a much more conducive relationship amongst us if we start talking to our boys and not waiting on the girls to be, you know, assaulted or abandoned or whatever. If we talk to our boys about accountability, we talk to our boys about respectability, and we let them know, like I told my son early, look, like as many as you want, date as many as you want, but when you pick one, you pick one. Nobody ever told me that. I had to learn baptism through fire.
Yeah,
baptism
that's true.
By fire. I had to learn. And same thing with sexual assault.
Yeah.
No don't only mean no. It don't just mean no. It also means that you when you follow that rule, you don't put yourself in a situation where you lose your freedom, where you can lose your respect, your reputation, your honor. You see?
I haven't had that specific conversation with him, but I always talk to him about, like, so when I talk about looking in that mirror, I always talk to him about how he sees himself, right? And that guides you, right? So as a kid, so since you talked about it, We me and my boys always talk about what we got away with then and what you can get away with now. But that was one fundamental thing that I always had that separated me from a lot of my boys, is I always thought, like, I always had, for the lack of a better word, I just had a big ego. So I never put myself in a situation where I even felt like I had to do anything that remotely came to sexual assault. For the simple fact, I always, like, if a woman want me, you know, she gonna come to me.
Yeah, I had that same mentality, but a lot of these boys, they don't know. They're not being taught.
Yeah.
And you have to be purposeful about, you know, dealing with these kids and having these conversations, because you can't just think, oh, he'll get it. He'll figure it out.
Yeah.
He already knows when you look in the mirror who you see, respect, honor, courage, bravery. And, you know, all of these things. But sometimes, but all the times, really, you have to tell them what those things mean and that type of actions that are consistent with those titles, right? So if our boys, if we teach our girls to be virtuous and, you know, don't wear those type of clothes, don't wear provocative clothes, you know, be a lady, don't be sleeping around, and Well, we got to teach our boys the same thing. Don't be sleeping around. Don't be sleeping around. You know, be careful about the type of girl that you pick.
Right.
You know, because
I preach that.
The person that you pick, that you choose to be in a relationship with, and specifically the one you choose to procreate with, will be one of the greatest responsibilities and decisions in your life.
Yeah.
Oh, that person who you choose to procreate with.
Absolutely. Because I've made some mistakes. So. Yeah, I agree with you on that. And you know what? I'm gonna implement that, because I never really, you know what I'm saying? When they start hitting about 12, 13 years old, you're saying what's too early and what's too late, you know? And not that you said it, I'm definitely gonna implant implement that in my daily discussion with him.
Yeah, I damn near don't even believe that that discussion can happen too early. Just for simple fact that if you think about, we teach our kids, about money early mm-hmm. on.
Yeah,
real early, right. As early as 3, 4, 5 years old. Right. We teach them. We giving them little small lessons right. about money. Right. We teach them, you know, about budgeting.
Right.
We teach them. We sow into them.
Right.
Goals. If they have something that they want to invent, some type mm-hmm. of company they want right. to start, we get right behind them right. and we push them.
Right.
I know a little kid that started investing in stocks when he was 11 years old.
Yeah, he doing it.
His parents, his mother specifically.
Yeah.
Saw it in him early on. He was asking questions about
right.
it. And mom said, okay, well, let me go buy a book. Mom went and bought a book, and she educated herself on stocks. Right. She didn't even know anything about stocks. Right. But, man, I got to give that woman some praise, man.
Yeah.
That woman, she saw it in him early on. Mm-hmm. This is what he want to do. Let me go educate myself so yeah. I can help him get that.
Yeah.
So shouts out to all the parents out yeah. there who sow into your kids, who really see the potential in them and put them in spaces where they can actually blossom and realize yeah. their goals.
Yeah. Yeah, that I agree with, because Coop has had some type of business since he was 7 years old.
Hmm.
So I definitely agree with you on that. So, I mean, that's I learned something today, because I definitely was like, when do I have this deep dive conversation with him? And, like, he crazy enough, so I don't want to put too much in his head. But, you know, I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is the answer for all this bickering going on between black men and black women? You know, how do we have like healthy conversations to where you see my viewpoint, I see your viewpoint, we come together because we both understand that we need each other. It's kind of like, you know, these companies exist because of there's a relationship and there's a certain level of respect that they have for their employees.
Yeah.
And the employees got to have a certain level of respect for the company and their supervisors and so on and so on. So the company's not going to just shut the doors. They're going to find somebody that fits the model, their work model, right? And they're going to continue to grow and advance, right?
Yeah.
So we don't really have a choice but to figure it out. How do we figure it out? What's like one of the first steps?
Having honest conversations. That's the biggest thing. I think that's the hardest thing for people to do and be honest with themselves. You know, last time we was on here, we was talking about, Samuel.
Kevin Samuels.
Kevin Samuels, right? And it's funny, I always talk to women and they like, oh, you think like Kevin Samuels. I was like, I actually think like, you know, Lil Guru, Sam Williamson, but I do understand some of the things that he did. But one of the biggest things that he was saying, that he did it in a way that sensationalized his point of view so that he could get, you know, monetize it. But what he was saying was everybody needs to be honest with themselves, right? And if people are more honest with themselves, like there has became a time that everybody wants to be paid three times what they're worth, right? And people, women sometimes, and men sometimes have a problem with really giving themselves a critical, looking at themselves critically and being honest with themselves about who they are, right? I think if people start to do that more and have honest conversations about who they are, I think this me against you thing will go away, right? Because people would be more willing to, you know, and I hate to say like use the terms that he was using, but like, you know, if you're a 7, you should be with a 7. If you're honest with yourself, there's nothing wrong with that, right? The problem is how the world has, you know, evolved and our environment has evolved in us, you know, telling women they should be, you know, they all 10s. It's funny, like you ask any woman, she a 10, right? And you should think you're the greatest person in the world, but you should also be honest, you know. So I put it in a sports analogy. I was talking to my son about this recently. I was like, in sports, I knew what I could do and what I couldn't do, right? So I became, because I was never the greatest athlete growing up. My cousins was better. You know, I had to see some cats on the street that was better. You know, matter of fact, the whole street was better than me as a kid in sports. But no one got a scholarship, right? I was the only one that got a scholarship, got my college. This is what my father paid, zero. But I got that because I knew what I was good at, right? I knew I was a hitter, right? So I knew I was a hitter. I'd tear your head off. I did that to the fullest extent. I wasn't the guy that was going to be a lockdown corner. You know what I mean? I wasn't going to be the guy that I was going to catch all the fingertip catches. So because I concentrated on what I knew, bruising people, trying to hurt the other person, it took me a long way. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. You look at someone like, you know, Dennis Rodman and your boy with Golden State right now.
Draymond Green.
The reason why Draymond Green is great, it's not that he'll give you 10 points or 30 points. He knows exactly what he does well, right? And that's rebound, cause havoc, get in people's head. All he is a modern-day Rodman, right? And because Rodman knew what he was, he revolutionized that, specialized a rebounder. There was never a person that did that, right? So because if you know who you are, then that's what you go for. That's the limits you set. You know, that's what you get for yourself. When you think that you should be here or you here, you know, or vice versa, that's when everything gets mixed up, right? And that's when people have problems, women have problems, because I think women have more problems with it than men, because we taught who we are from day one.
I was about to say that, because I know that a guy who doesn't make good money,
he's
going to be told that, and he believes that, and he's not going to try to go get a Halle Berry.
Right.
He knows that. Look, that's off my pay scale.
No.
But a woman could be like, you know, that seven, that six, or whatever that you talk about, and she thinks she can go get. You know,
Not that she can go get that she deserves. So if you think you deserve a 10, you know, even that you never get it, you still feel that you still shooting for that.
Right.
Right.
You're still looking down on the guy.
Exactly.
That's actually where you are.
Right. That's how you miss out. And that's what he was saying. And that's what I always say. So if you be honest, like, that's the hardest thing. A girl asked me this recently. She said, what are you? Right. She said, what do you think you are? So I said, I'm a strong 8. She was like, you ain't a 10. I said, I lose these 15 pounds. I push myself up to 8.5. I was like, you add another 0 to my name, I'll be a 9, 9.5. But 80% of anything is great. Like, hey, she was like, why would you not? I was like, because I'm honest with myself. I was like, I think I'm an extremely nice looking guy. I think I'm very intelligent. I got swag, right? I said, but to be at an 8.5, I mean, that's pretty honest with myself.
All you got to do is go get some of that Oprah money.
Right.
go holler at Oprah.
That'll put me at a 10.
Yeah.
Right. But see, a man can be honest with that. I make magnificent money. I've done very well for myself, right? But I know if you give me Jay-Z money, you know what I'm saying? Because Jay-Z is not the nicest looking guy. But I don't think no woman wouldn't say his total package 8 or 10. Well, most women will. You know, he'd probably get most women if he wanted to, right? And I said most. I didn't say all, because there's always that one chick. I would admit, okay, I get you. I'm saying he would get most women. But men could be more critical of themselves. Cause she just felt like I should have said I was a 10. I was like, but I'm not. You know what I'm saying? 8.5. Man, I'd go anywhere in the country with that. You know what I'm saying? I can't go anywhere in the country and dominate. You know, you start getting 10, get 9 10s, I mean, you know, it ain't 2 million of them in the world. You know, so, I mean, that's the deal. I've never met a woman say, well, let me tell you that, but I've met a couple of girls say, when you ask them, they gave you a legitimate, somewhere in the area number, when you say, you know, I've talked to a girl that was a 6, it was like, oh, I'm a 10. I was like, on what date? What morning? What type of makeup did you have on? You can't be a 6 or a 10. There's no way. And that's how she carried herself, like she was a 10.
How do you feel about women that wear makeup?
So, that's crazy. So, I used to date a makeup artist, right? And on the surface, I hated makeup. Once again, my mom didn't wear much makeup. The family I grew in, the women didn't wear much makeup. So I'm not a great fan of makeup. Well, let me tell you that. I'm a fan of makeup. You put on makeup to enhance your beauty. And that's a whole difference than having a beat face.
Trying to cover it up.
Yeah, having a beat face is something totally different. You know, putting a little, you know what I'm saying, you line your nose a little bit, you contour your face a little bit or whatever, you know, a little foundation, you know. But, you know, when you got the whole layers and layers, your nose is, you know, your nose this wide, but after you get through it, look like it's that big. That's just too much. Because it's just hiding who you are. But, I mean, I don't really like weave. So every girl I've ever had, I made them take the weave out while we were dating. Every chick I've ever had took the weave out, if she had weave.
What would have happened if one of them decided, I'm not taking the weave out? I'm talking about one of them that you really, really liked. You was in love with. Which one did you fall in love with her before she took it out? You let her know game is?
So that's a good question, because the girl that was a makeup artist used to wear, like, and what's crazy is she was more beautiful without the makeup. Like, when she do the fresh face, she was stunning.
You know, it's very hard to tell. You convince a woman that, though.
She was stunning with this fresh face. But, like, she put up all the makeup on. Sometimes I was like, we would go to my corporate function. I was like, she was like, well, I wear this because.
She's trying to sell it.
Yeah, because she said this is my business. So I got that. So to answer your question, I fell in love with her. I wanted to marry this chick, and I accepted it. So I don't know. I just don't like weave. It feel like Easter egg hair on your chest or something. When
Easter egg hair. What the hell is Easter egg hair?
Easter egg grass. That Easter egg grass?
Oh, man.
I feel like that Easter egg grass when you put it on your chest. So I don't really like weave. But as I said, I fell in love with this chick with it. So I don't know. I don't like the smell of it, none of it.
What do you think about that millionaire soccer guy who I played?
He's smart.
His wife or
He's
his
smart.
Former wife.
Listen.
His estranged wife and put all of the assets
in his mama's name. I said that to all my boys is married. So I think he a very smart guy. So I remember, I don't know if I told you, it was me and you was talking one time. And I was telling my uncle, came to me. Now, this guy has been working since he was 17 years old and amassed a little small fortune, right? Well off, retired at 55, can do whatever he want to do. So he got married when he was 60. And he came to me, he asked me, he said, should I do a prenup? And I was like, oh, hell yeah. I was like, all the sweat and tears you did. I mean, because he wasn't the guy that got it because made that money because he just had a super high-paying job. He sacrificed a lot, paid a lot, made good investments, didn't mess off his money. So when he hit 55, he was straight. You know what I'm saying? He sacrificed a lot. He deprived his stuff of a My uncle was so cheap. He was one of those uncles, like, he would know what the temperature was, and because I grew up in the Midwest, where temperature was, and if you come in and it was hotter, he'll go look at the thermostat to see what the thermostat say. That's who he was. He said, what should I do if she get angry if I say she got signed a prenup? And I said, Unc, the prenup only matters if she don't love you anymore. That's what you tell him. I said, the prenup only matters if you don't love me anymore. As long as you love me, we good. So I think he felt like that too. Like, as long as we in love, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Because I'm pretty sure she had access to all the money. Anywhere they went, it was paid for. She lived the lifestyle. He gave her the lifestyle. It did not matter until she wanted to take half this man's money. So I think it was smart.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine sent me something better. I don't know if you've seen this one. I forgot who's the billionaire, but he took his wife. They've been married 42 years. She's probably about 15, 20 years younger than him. And they was married like 25 years, something like that. It was married like 20, 25 years. And she went to go get a divorce. And they had been divorced since the fifth year. Did you see that?
Yeah, he took her to DR. No. They had been divorced since like the 6 month.
The 6 month. Yeah.
Yeah. He took her to the DR. And divorced her.
But they was together for
and they
like
was together 20 years.
20 years. Yeah.
They were together 20 years, and then she filed for divorce. This was a younger woman.
Right.
And she filed for divorce after 20 years.
Yeah.
And he said that he divorced her then because he knew that eventually she would leave him.
Right.
It's a cold game, man. It's a cold game. This relationship thing. Do you ever get any pressure from women when you state your opinion because you're this guy who is a basically relationship guru, you're a love guru?
Yeah.
Is that any time when you meet a woman and you're interested in her, you want her to be interested in you, but she's hesitant. She has some trepidation because of your reputation.
Anytime you a guy that's been out here for a while, I mean, you're going to deal with a little bit of that.
But I'm talking about mainly just knowing that, okay.
The love guru?
You're the love guru.
I've only had that one time. Yeah, actually just recently. Bad too, man. Bad.
And she just didn't trust you.
She just like, she don't like dudes that be all on Instagram and doing talk radio and, you know, podcasts. And I was like, okay, I ain't mad at you. I have a big personality. I was like, baby, you know, if you don't like it, then you don't like it. I can't do nothing about it.
Hmm.
So I'm never upset if some woman doesn't like something about me. I'm like, I'm glad she got it out early on.
There's a lot of advice that you can offer for people that are in relationships or people that want to enter into relationships.
Yeah.
But one of the most significant pieces of advice that you can share right now.
I'm telling you, it all boils down to people don't lie to themselves about anything. Anything. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was telling me that her husband had died, right? And then she's saying that she wanted a relationship with this type of guy, right? But she don't like that type of guy. I was like, you like jazzy dudes. You like dudes that's like, when they walk in the room, everybody pay attention to them. And she was like, but I've had that, and I love my husband when he died, but, you know, we had issues, blah, blah, blah. I was like, but you're not going to be happy with that other dude. So you'll be lying to yourself, right? I'll be like, you'll be lying to yourself. You get that other guy, it'll be good for the first couple of 2 or 3 years, but then all of a sudden you'll be resorting back to the guy that you wanted. That's why so many women are unhappy that's married. Like, do you know how many women cheat that's married? Like, it's ridiculous now. Because I believe my hypothesis is most women marry for the wrong reasons. One of the things is most of the women, dudes that they marry, me and my partners had an argument about this. I would say, and I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think that most people are married to the man or the woman that's their first choice?
No, absolutely not. Because I know as far as like with women, when it comes to women, women marry men that they can live with.
Yes.
So, okay, I really want to be with him, but I ain't going to be able to live with that.
Right.
I can live with him.
I really want to be with him, but a lot of women pay attention to him. Or I really want to be with him, but because of his money, then I would have to deal with this. But they really like that. I respect the girl. This other girl I was talking to, she was just like, oh, I already know whatever man I marry ain't going to be totally right. She was like, because I like those type of dudes. So she was like, so if I marry, I go into it knowing that that's what it is.
But is she also going into it with the idea that she's going to cheat?
That he's going to cheat or she going to cheat?
Is she going to cheat? She's going to be loyal?
I think she's going to be loyal. I think she would be. There's some women that accept it. I mean, you know, there's women out there, you know, I don't want to put it on athletes or entertainers or anything, but I mean, the lifestyle you're privy to a lot, right? So if I married, you know, Willie D back when Willie D was the hottest ever, you know what I'm saying? Women was coming everywhere at you, right? So even though you might have been the type of guy that'd be like, no, that's very hard for most people.
I wasn't.
So we'll see, there you go.
I wasn't.
We'll see, there you go.
You know, I wasn't easy, but I was easy on the ones who were easy on the eye and had good personalities.
Right.
The ones like so that was women who were very, very attractive. Mm-hmm. Very attractive. But they had stink attitudes.
Yeah.
And I've never been a type that could get excited by a woman who wasn't principled.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like
right.
Like women who wasn't like who wasn't really about something. I never liked women who looked down on other people who thought
right.
that. It's fine if you think that you're better in the sense that I'm not a better human being, but I'm
right.
a better person because
right.
of the way I carry myself.
Right.
I have character. That's fine. But to look down on someone because of their lot in life and
mm-hmm.
or, you know, what they have or what they don't have,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just like, I'm better like that.
Mm-hmm.
I never liked those type of women. Never, never.
But how about expectations, though?
In regards to what?
So does expectations sometimes get mixed up with, like, someone looking down on you?
Expectations in regards to what, though?
Well, it's like lifestyles, you, like, so... I was telling a buddy of mine, we was talking about this when I first moved here, but probably about 2005 or whatever, all my partners from St. Louis, they moved here. And I met this girl named Erica. I forgot Erica's last name. You know who Kevin Lyles is?
Mm-hmm.
So it's Kevin Lyles' wife, right? So I met...
You talking about Kevin Lyles in Houston or Kevin Lyles, the record exec?
The record exec.
Okay, yeah.
So I met his wife, like, in Miami. And you could clearly see that, like, it was just something different about her, right? You could clearly see that. So we was down in Miami together, and, you know, I went up there, macked on, and was like, hey, come and holler at me, you know? I did. So we was talking on the phone, but I could tell it was just something about her that was just different than you know, every other woman. And she was just super classy, right? And you could just tell by the jewelry, everything about her was just, it was elegant, right? So I remember when she came to visit, and tell you a story, I remember she came to visit. And my buddy used to throw parties at the Saks Fifth Avenue restaurant. It was 50-something before, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The restaurant that used to be upstairs before
yeah.
they redid Saks.
Mm-hmm.
And he would, every for his birthday, every year he would throw this like 7-course meal, you know, everything free, liquor, premium, across the board, he would just kill it. So I told her to come in town, but I knew she was coming in town for the questions that she was asking me to see how I was living, right? She came in town, she walked in the door, and I remember my buddy turned to me and say, oh, you best well give me that. And he was like a hustle dude, you know what I'm saying? He was a street dude. So he's like, you might as well give me that. And I said, why? I was like, I made great money. He was like, I'm looking at a dog, like, you don't have that type of money, right? So this was probably, you know, I'm still on my way up. He's like, she got a Birkin. You see that bag she got? I was like, yeah. He was like, that's a Birkin bag. So that's one of the big ones. That's 15 G's at the time. It was 10 or 15 G's. I said, that's a who bag? So like, that's a Birkin bag. And see, by that time, I didn't know what a lurkin was, a Birkin, a slurkin. I was like, well, I ain't going to give her none of that. So he was like, oh, yes, a Birkin bag. He said, I bet you she wear LaPerla underwear. I was like, what the fuck is LaPerla underwear? He was like, oh, it's, you know, a bra costs you $150, right? He was like, remember that box I had delivered to the house with all that lingerie for my wife? I was like, yeah. He was just like, oh. That box alone was like $15,000. I was like, you serious? He was like, yes. He was like, I'm telling you, I'm looking at it. He was like, so, because my partner, he was the one that taught, I had a partner named Fat Cat. He was the one that taught me about all like jewelry, watches, all that. So I walked up to her. I was like, yo. I was like, yeah, what's up? I was like talking to her. I was like, yeah, you lucky. You probably got on a little LaPerla. She would say, you know about Little Pearl? I was like, oh, you know, I'm just that type of player, you know. But her expectation, so as we got to know each other, she was just like, I don't want to marry. She's like, I think I'm better than just marrying a dude that make $200,000 a year, right? She was just like, not that it's anything against.
Let me just straighten out something real quick.
Yeah.
You're talking to her before she married Kevin?
Before she married Kevin.
Just before she married
Kevin. Before she
She's still
Kevin.
Married to Kevin right now?
She's married to Kevin okay, this day. Go. So at the time, she was messing with Katino Mobley. She had just stopped dating Katino Mobley and was engaged to, what's his name, Sean Marion, played basketball for Phoenix, right? So she was just like, she was just like, this is the lifestyle I want. This is what my expectations for myself is. She was, at the time, she was a manager for J&J Pharmaceuticals, right? Regional manager, a district manager. So she was just like, I worked hard to get here, and this is what I expect my life to be. Now, I said that to wrap it all in about the expectation. I never felt bad about that because I was just like, I feel you. I'm not there yet. So you got to get that dude that's there, right? And I think she dated Puffy's lawyer, and then she married Kevin Lyles. And everything, all her expectations of what she thought for herself is what she did. So some men would have probably got mad and been like, oh, well, you looking down on me, right? I never felt like that. I just felt like I wasn't her expectation at that moment or whatever she was. So that's why I was asking you, when you say you don't like a woman that looks at somebody like they're better than them, but that maybe can be misconstrued as someone that feels like they just have a different expectation for
life. No. I'm talking about women who look down on people, period. I'm not even talking about men. I'm talking about women who would look down on another, even looking down on another woman. They are human beings.
But don't you think she felt like that when it came to anybody that wasn't what she felt like was on her level?
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that there are people, human beings, who think their shit don't stink.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about money, clothes, woo. I'm talking about as a human being. I'm talking about it's some people.
Yeah.
It's some people who will look at, I don't know, look at a bus driver and say, oh, he's nothing. You know, you're nothing.
I get what
you're saying. It ain't about you wanting to date me or you trying to holler at me. It's just like, oh, you're a bus driver. You're nobody.
Okay.
It's those types. That's what I'm talking about.
I get what you're saying.
That type of personality.
Okay.
You know, like, I'm not with that.
Okay. I get what you say. Yeah. I get that part. But sometimes, I do feel like sometimes people feel like if their expectations is greater than yours, they feel like you think they're better than you. Well, they might, right? But that just might be their expectation.
No, they might in their head.
Right.
Might be.
Right.
Because I would never concede that anybody is better than me.
Right. I'm saying they might feel like that.
Yeah, they may feel that way.
I never felt bad because I felt like that's your expectations, right?
Right.
So I never felt like, oh, you know, because we used to argue about the whole money thing. Like have discussions about the whole money thing. And she used to be like, Sam, I just expect to be here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I used to be like, I feel you. Right, I was like, and if I meet somebody like that, I'll hook you up.
Did you feel any pressure to perform, to get it, to hurry up and get there?
No, I never was that guy. No, I would just say you catch the next bus. Yeah, I catch you when I get there. And a lot of times, when you get there, you don't want to mess with them no more anyway. You know what I'm saying? So that's been me since I was a kid.
Are you mess with them just as? Go ahead and get it out of the way and then keep it moving.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sam Williamson, the love guru, is about to exit the building. Hey, what you got going on, man, and how can people get in touch with you?
Well, yeah, always you can hit me on Instagram at loveguru81. So that's the best way to get me. But people been saying they love my podcast when I'm on someone else's podcast and stuff. So I'm about to start trying to put me a team together and kind of do something myself.
Okay.
You know, or you and I can just keep doing these
love
things.
Yeah, I can definitely have you back on, man, you know, because, you know, I always like to get your perspective on things, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
appreciate you.
I always love the conversation.
My man, no more talk.
Yeah.
This episode was produced by A. King and brought to you by
the Black Effect Podcast Network
and iHeartRadio.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey there. I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.